Magandang araw po sa bawat isa and magandang araw, GCFE's family. Again, I'm Elder Jojo and this is our midweek service sermon for April 1, 2020. I hope you have your pen, your notebook, and your Bible ready as we begin our study in Exodus. Join me as we open in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another week na binigay mo po sa amin. For another week of your provision, of your protection, Panginoon, sa bawat isa. Another week, Panginoon, where we are here gathered together to study your word. Just ask, Lord, that may you bless the preaching of your word. May you open our ears, our spiritual eyes, Panginoon. Just ask, Lord, that may you be glorified in everything that we will do today. And ito pong aming samot dalangin sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen. 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 So, we are in this section sa Exodus where we are studying the plagues. And by God's grace, we have finished 8 plagues already. And I think we are right on track. And I remember one time hearing the late R.C. Sproul sa isang interview. And ang sabi niya that much of our preaching should come from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, nakikita natin at nauunawaan yung character ng Panginoon. And the more that naiintindihan natin at nalalaman yung character ng Panginoon, the greater our worship of God would be. Oftentimes, we avoid the study of the Old Testament because of the idea that I don't want to study the Old Testament because in the Old Testament, I see God as the God of wrath. But in the New Testament, I see God as the God of grace. And being New Testament believers, I can identify with that. In the Old Testament, He is the God that gives justice. But in the New Testament, He is the God that gives mercy. And if we see the scriptures, in particular the Old Testament, in that perspective, we miss the beauty and the majesty of who God is. It is true that we see etong mga plagues, we see God's justice in display. We see how the Lord dealt with a king, a Pharaoh, who enslaved his people, who ordered a state-sponsored killing of all the Israelite baby boys simply because he saw them as a threat to his throne. We see here how the Lord dealt with a nation who has forgotten how the Lord saved them through the wise and the godly administration of Joseph during the time of the Great Famine. Isang nation that rather than to give God the glory sa kanilang abundance, nagbigay sila ng glory sa kanilang mga false gods and kanilang mga false goddesses. And every plague na pinadala ng Panginoon were a display of God's justice to their idolatry, and it is also a reminder to them that the Lord is the source of all that they have, hindi yung mga false gods and goddesses nila. So we see God's justice in display in the Old Testament, in particular dito sa account ng Exodus na pinag-aaralan natin. But we also see God's mercy in display. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, mababasa natin ito. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now the question is, how patient God was in the account, in this account sa Exodus? God waited 80 years to mold and to humble Moses. And every plague na nakikita ni Moses na ginagawa ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga sa kanyang harapan was a reminder to him that it is not about him or anything good na meron siya, but it is all about who God is. He was entrusted to tell that story, the story of God's redemption, not the story of His achievements to His people. God waited 400 years in order for the Egyptian nation to repent along with its kings. Di lang iyon, sa Genesis 15:6, God said this to Abraham, that yung descendants niya will become slaves and will come back in the promised land after 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites, which at that time was living in Canaan, is not yet complete. Yung kasalanan ng mga Amorites, di pa daw umabot sa sukdulan. And God waited 400 years for them to repent. Another thing na nakikita natin yung mercy ng Panginoon is that He gave Pharaoh 10 plagues, 10 chances in order to humble himself. And kung titignan natin, some Egyptians, because of the plagues, they believed the word of God spoken through Moses. But this Pharaoh hardens his heart all the more. We see here sa account natin sa Exodus that God's justice is certain to the wicked, to those who harden their hearts, to those who think they can save themselves. But at the same time, God is loving. He is merciful. He is patient to those sinful men who in humility cry to God for salvation. God's justice and at the same time His mercy is displayed here in the 10 plagues. Now we are on the 9th plague. After 8 plagues, Egypt lies in ruin. They don't have anything. Kanilang mga livestock patay. Their food supply, kinain ng mga locusts. Egypt is now destroyed and yet may parating pang mga plagues. And itong 9th plague will shatter the very core of their Egyptian theology. So, if you have your Bibles with you, let us open our Bibles sa Exodus chapter 10, starting sa verse 21. So, we will study the account of the 9th plague, the plague of darkness. So, I will be reading from the ESV version. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." Then the Lord said, Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take of them to serve the Lord our God, and we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on that day, you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." Now, in August 1, 1914, may isang Irish Antarctic explorer na nagngangalang si Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton. And naglayag sila, no, yung kanyang crew, lulan ng barkong Endurance patungong Antarctic, with the mission na magtra-traverse sila sa continent ng Antarctic on foot. And along the way, na-stuck yung kanilang barko sa mga ice packs or mga malalaking tipak ng yelo. To the point na hindi na ito makagalaw. And on November 21, 1915, so after more than a year, they were forced to abandon their ship and for several months, nagpalutang-lutang sila sa ibabaw ng tipak ng yelo. Until finally, April 15, 1916, after 623 days na ng paglalayag, nakarating sila sa Elephant Island. During the time ng kanilang tragic exploration, they suffered hardship, they endured freezing temperatures, and near starvation. But of all the frozen terrors na naranasan nila, none was more disheartening than the long polar nights. And yung biographer ni Shackleton described yung kanilang experience as this: "In all the world, there is no desolation more complete than the polar night. It is a return to the ice age. No warmth, no life, no movement. Only those who have experienced it can fully appreciate what it means to be without the sun, day after day and week after week. Few men unaccustomed to it can fight off its effects altogether, and it has driven some men mad." Mga kapatid, if that kind of darkness drove those sailors mad, how much more etong plague of darkness that God sent to Egypt? This is not just a darkness na natural. This is a supernatural darkness that was described as a darkness that can be felt. This was total deep darkness. And I can't imagine how dark this darkness can be. Probably many Egyptians have gone mad because of this plague. I can't imagine yung disorientation and yung psychological distress brought about by this plague. God has already plagued them with blood, with frogs, with gnats, with flies, with pestilence, with diseases, with hail and locusts. Now, in this ninth plague for 3 days, no one could see anything. Ngayon, sa verses 21 to 23, makikita natin yung announcement and yung consequence ng plague. Verse 21, sabi dyan, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived." Ngayon, tulad nung third at saka nung sixth plague, etong plague na ito came unannounced. Sa verse 21, sabi dyan, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that they may be darkness over the land of Egypt." As we have said sa mga previous study natin, that each plague was against a god or gods and goddesses that the Egyptians worship. And God saved etong ninth plague sa kanilang Diyos that they revered so much. This plague, you know, strikes the very foundation of their Egyptian theology. Etong plague ng darkness held as special terrors for the Egyptians because they worship the sun. Kung meron mang Diyos that they revered the most, walang iba kundi yung kanilang mga Diyos that were associated with the worship of the sun. They worship these gods almost every day. The Egyptians, they worship si Horus, which is yung god ng sunrise. They worship si Aten, A-T-E-N, the god of the midday sun. And si Atum, A-T-U-M, the god of the sunset. But the supreme deity in their pantheon of gods was Amun-Ra, or tinatawag ding Ra. And the Egyptians believed that Ra was their creator. They believed that it was Amun-Ra na nagsabi, "I am the great God who came into being of himself. He who created his names, he who was no opponent among the gods. Para sa mga Egyptians, Amun-Ra is a unique god. And they would sing hymns kay Amun-Ra na meron lyrics ng ganito. There is no one besides him. You mold the earth to your wish, you and you alone. All the people, herds and flocks, all the earth that walks on legs, all on high that fly with their wings. Para sa kanila, every morning, yung rising ng sun in the east reaffirmed the life-giving power of Amun-Ra. Kung ang sunset para sa kanila nagre-represent ng kamatayan and ng underworld, every time that the sun will rise, nakikita nila yung rising ni Amun-Ra na nag-offer sa kanila ng hope at sa kanang resurrection. For the Egyptians, it was a matter of faith that the eternally rising sun could never be destroyed. For them, it is impossible to blot out the sun, for it is impossible to destroy Amun-Ra. Now God, blotting out the sun for 3 days, gives a message to them that their God is not eternal. It was a message to them that the sun, the God they worship, is not a creator after all. Now, like most Egyptians, Pharaoh was also a sun worshiper. But it was more than that. The Egyptians also believed that Pharaoh was the son of Ra. They believed that every Pharaoh was an incarnation of Amun-Ra. So Egypt's king was also Egypt's god. And they regard their Pharaoh as the son of the supreme deity na kanilang wino-worship. To them, it was Pharaoh who maintains the cosmic order. They sing songs of worship not just to Amun-Ra but also to Pharaoh. At the school, they instructed yung kanilang mga children to sing songs of praise kay Pharaoh. Na parang ganito, worship Pharaoh living forever within your bodies and associate with his majesty in your hearts. He is Ra, by whose beams one sees. He is one who illuminates the two lands more than the sun disk. The Egyptians thus ascribed all majesty and eternity to Pharaoh. He was their illuminator, the Lord of their hearts. Sometimes they even prayed to Pharaoh saying, "Attend to me, O rising sun, that illuminates the two lands with his comeliness. O solar disk of mankind that repels darkness from Egypt, thy nature is like unto thy father Ra, who arises in heaven." And come to think of this, if you are a believer who is listening to those expressions of worship, will be greatly offended by those songs of worship, imagine how greatly offended God is. It was Him who gave them life. It was God who gave them abundance. It was God who gave them everything. And yet, in rebellion, ang sabi nila, "No, hindi ito nanggaling sa iyo. You are not part of everything that we have." It was an insult to God. And by God sending the plague of darkness, He is insulting their supreme God, si Amun-Ra. He was insulting Pharaoh, who they believe was the son of Amun-Ra. Titignan natin, in a spiritual level, isn't it Pharaoh's sin, his worship of himself, is a sin you and I knowingly or unknowingly nagagawa na natin? We are 3,500 years removed nung time nitong plagues, but still, the world we are into are like their world. We too are surrounded by idols. And the supreme deity that we worship daily is ourselves. We honor, we admire, and we love ourselves more than anyone or anything else. And we are all guilty of that. I myself included. May isang American poet, and he described this postmodern worship as this. We like to think of ourselves as a nation of rugged individualists. And it's true. We depend on our own abilities and admire on our own accomplishments. We devote nearly all our attention to making our own plans, meeting our own needs, serving our own interests, and satisfying our own pleasures. We even complain about our own problems. It's all about us. We idolize ourselves. Mga kapatid, we are no better than Pharaoh. Sa harap ng Panginoon, we are all guilty sinners like him. And unless we repent and put our faith in Christ, we will not be saved. And by God commanding darkness over Egypt, God is destroying their supreme deity, si Amun-Ra. By God sending the plagues, He is pronouncing judgment on Pharaoh's ultimate sin, the worship of himself. And going back to Exodus chapter 10, sa verse 21, makikita natin how the Lord described this darkness. He described it as a darkness to be felt. And theologians, they differ on how they interpret itong passage na ito. Some say this darkness was caused by a natural phenomenon. Yung iba sinasabi nila, this was a solar eclipse. Others, sabi naman nila, this was caused by a strong sandstorm. Yung clouds of dust were so dense that the Egyptians can feel it and were forced to stay indoors. So cloud storm daw sila, or sandstorm daw sila. But kung titignan natin, these interpretations cannot fully satisfy the details of the biblical text. Kasi if the darkness was caused by an eclipse, I don't know of an eclipse na naglast siya for 3 days. And if this darkness was made because of a massive storm, bakit di na lang sinabi ng Bible dust storm? Bakit ang ginamit is darkness? I believe the darkness na binanggit dito ng Panginoon na pinadala niya sa Egypt was a supernatural phenomenon. This was a supernatural miracle. This was total darkness. The darkness was so dense that even yung mga photons, yung mga particles ng light cannot escape yung density ng darkness na ito. Nung inaaral ko nga ito, all I can think of is yung tinatawag sa astronomy na black hole or yung dark matter. Kung titignan din natin yung phrase na a darkness to be felt can also be translated as a darkness that will require groping around. So this darkness is felt and caused them to grope around. So di lang ito naramdaman nila, kundi tulad ng isang bulag, mangangapa sila sa dilim. So verse 22, no, sabi dyan sa Exodus chapter 10. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. So this was a supernatural phenomenon caused by the power of God. And this darkness was so dense that sinabi sa verse 23, they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. This darkness caused them to stay indoors kasi di nila makita ang isa't isa. I believe this darkness was not an ordinary darkness na meron tayo sa gabi if merong blackout and walang buwan. This darkness was so dense that even nasa harap na nila, no, hindi nila makita. That even if may hawak silang torch, the light cannot penetrate their eyes because darkness was so dense. I can't imagine how horrific that darkness would be. I can't imagine the fear and the chaos brought about by this plague. Para kang bulag pero hindi ka bulag. By God blotting out the sun, He proved to the Egyptians His supremacy over their gods. He proved to them that even Pharaoh, the God whom they believe was the incarnation of Amon-Ra, who maintains order in the cosmic world, cannot really control the chaos brought about by this plague and by the other plagues. And so verse 23, there is this praise that proved all the more that this was indeed a supernatural phenomenon. Sabi dyan sa verse 23, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Habang mayroon chaos sa Egypt, in Goshen, kung saan nandun yung mga Israelites, merong peace, merong order, merong light. Kung titingnan natin, the darkness that fell over Egypt was physical, but it also had spiritual significance. In the Bible, darkness signifies error, ignorance, sin, rebellion, and even death. Proverbs 4:19, sabi dyan, Proverbs 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. In John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people love their darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. In Ephesians 4:18, sabi dyan, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Even though natapos na yung darkness, Pharaoh's darkened, hardened heart continued. And sa verse 24, makikita natin how his darkened heart negotiates a compromise. So sa verse 24, eto, makikita natin yung compromise. Sabi dyan, then Pharaoh called Moses. So after 3 days, nung natapos na yung plague ng darkness, pinatawag ni Pharaoh si Moses. And he gave this compromise. Sabi niya, go serve the Lord or Yahweh. Your little ones also may go with you, only let your flocks and your herds remain behind. Kung titignan natin by just analyzing yung kanyang compromise, Pharaoh was not ignorant sa mga facts about the command ng Panginoon. Unang-una, he knew exactly what God wanted from him. He knew who had sent the darkness. He knew God's covenant name. Ang ginamit niya dun sa word na Lord is Yahweh, capital L, O-R-D. He knew that he was supposed to let God's people go. And he even knew the purpose of their exodus so that the Israelites could go and worship God. He's not ignorant sa mga facts. He knew. Pharaoh knew all of this, yet he refused to give it all over to God. He refused to surrender to God. The heart of his darkness was his unwillingness to give God total control. And makita natin ito sa kanyang mga compromises written dun sa mga ibang plagues. After the fourth plague, ang compromise niya was for the Israelites to sacrifice in the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh was willing to let the Israelites worship Yahweh as long as they remained his own personal slaves. Now, to put it in spiritual terms, he was trying to convince them that they could serve him and serve God at the same time. When Moses refused, sabi ni Pharaoh, okay, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to Yahweh your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Again, this was another temptation, to follow God into freedom, but to stay close enough to run back to bondage. Sa eighth plague, ang compromise naman ni Pharaoh was to allow the men to go, but not the women and the children. He wanted the men of Israel to leave their families in the bond of slavery. Then here, his final offer was to let the Israelites go, provided they will leave their flocks and their herds behind. Pharaoh intended to hold their livestock hostage to guarantee that they will return in Egypt. He knew they would not survive out in the desert for long without food. Pharaoh was always holding something back. By insisting on his right to hold on God's livestock, he was refusing to give up his sovereignty. He wanted to deal with God on his own terms. He wanted to stay in control. And by Pharaoh doing all those compromises, he is reflecting a heart that is not willing, no, to submit all the way to God. His actions prove the darkness of his heart. Mga kapatid, like Pharaoh, many people bargain with God. Many are trying to get to him to lower his terms. They will say the sinner's prayer as long as they don't have to go to church every week. Or they will go to church as long as they don't have to get baptized. Or they will get baptized as long as they don't have to get involved. Or they will give some of their time as long as they don't have to give any of their money. Or they will give part of themselves to God as long as they don't have to give him everything. In short, they are willing to become Christians as long as they can still live for themselves. And they are willing to twist God's word in order to justify their unwillingness to obey God. That is what Pharaoh did. But true believers take heed of God's word. And makikita natin sa verse 25 to 26, yung insistence ni Moses na sundin yung command ng Panginoon. Sabi dito sa verse 25, "But Moses said, 'You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take of them to serve the Lord our God, and we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there.'" Now, when Pharaoh offered a compromise, ang ginawa ng ni Moses, ni-reiterate niya yung salita ng Panginoon. Moses was unwilling to make even the smallest compromise in his commitment to obey God. Kung titignan natin, if you were Moses, pwede mong isipin, this is the best offer na in-offer ni Pharaoh. Imagine, all of us can go, maiwan lang yung mga animals. But for Moses, there should be no compromise. It is all or nothing. Alam ni Moses that the command was clear and the command was to let the Israelite go in order for them to worship. And nagbigay si Moses ng dalawang specific na dahilan kung bakit hindi nila pwedeng iwan yung kanilang mga livestock or yung kanilang mga animals. Una is that they will use it for worship. Sabi sa verse 25, "But Moses said, 'You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take of them to serve the Lord our God.'" Both Moses and Pharaoh know what God meant when he said to let the Israelites go in order to worship. God meant that for his people to worship him, they must offer animal sacrifices before him. So it involves animals. And kung wala silang animals na dala, wala silang isa-sacrifice. If wala silang isa-sacrifice, walang worship. And the second reason kung bakit di pwedeng maiwan ang mga animals nila is makikita natin sa last phrase ng verse 26. "And we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there." Ngayon, yung ibang theologians, sinasabi nila that Moses was being deceptive here or that he was bargaining with Pharaoh. Kung titignan natin, Moses was not deceptive here but he was rather truthful. Nung sinabi niya na yung phrase na "we do not know," he is saying to to Pharaoh that he is not sure how many or even kung ano yung isa-sacrifice nila pag dumating na sila doon. All must go para kay Moses kasi di niya alam ano bang isa-sacrifice, ram ba? Ram? Or bull? Or lamb? Di niya alam kung ilan. Isa ba? Sampu ba? Or 2 million ba? Isa kada isang Israelite? Or ang need ba is a 1-year-old na animal or a 10-year-old na animal? Di pa alam ni Moses since the laws of the sacrifice was about to be given pa after nilang lumabas ng Egypt. So, this was not a deceptive strategy. But sa verse 27 to 29, makikita natin yung refusal ni Pharaoh. He was angered sa response ni Moses. Sabi dyan, verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he would not let them go. Again, the Lord hardened all the more Pharaoh's heart, already hardened, stubborn heart. Then sa verse 28, Pharaoh said this to Moses, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. Pharaoh was sick and tired to see Moses' face. Kumbaga sa Tagalog lingo or sa Pinoy version, sabi ni Pharaoh, lumayas ka sa pamamahay ko at wag na wag mo nang ipakita muli ang pagmumukha mo dito. And then, di lang dun nagtapos, tulad ng 8th plague, Pharaoh issued a threat. But this time, he issued a death threat. Sabi niya sa verse 28, for on the day you see my face, you shall die. Para kay Pharaoh, yung mga negotiations nila were over. If Moses will still insist, he will really put him to death. So verse 29, ang sagot ni Moses, as you say, I will not see your face again. Pharaoh will not indeed see Moses ever again. And the next time they will see each other face to face is after ng Passover, where Pharaoh lost everything he has, including his firstborn son. By Pharaoh sending Moses away, he was wasting his last chance to leave the heart of darkness. Moses was God's prophet. He had the words of life. And the moment Pharaoh drove Moses away, he was driving out the only person who could help him escape this darkness. Now, how can we apply this? Sometimes we entertain this foolish idea with regards to the gospel that, well, your gospel is good, but pass muna. I will give my life to God later. They assume that they will always get another chance. And they justify it by saying, God is a God of mercy naman, di ba? But not all people get a second chance. Like Pharaoh, sometimes God send his messengers and his message giving an opportunity to respond, but sometimes that moment passes and never comes again. And Revelation gives us a glimpse of that moment, of that ultimate judgment. And makikita natin ito sa chapter 16, verses 10 to 11. Sabi dyan, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. Mga kapatid, habang di pa dumadating yung araw na yun, while we are still here, alive, breathing, there is still hope. There is still a second chance. As John said, sa chapter 12 ng kanyang gospel, verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, which is Christ, that you may become sons of light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for saving us for reaching out to us, Panginoon, for opening our hearts. I pray, Lord, for those people, Lord, who have not known you, na mayroong wala pong relationship sa iyo. I pray, Lord, that may you reach out to them. May you bring a messenger, Panginoon, in order to share the gospel to them. May this message, Panginoon, open that light, that little na ilaw na meron po sila. And marami pong salamat, Lord, for reminding us, Panginoon, that yes, you are just, but you are also mercy. And you will save, you will embrace with open arms those who come to you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this day. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, that is our sermon for today, the ninth plague. So, probably next week, Pastor Erwin will pick up from here, chapter 11. So, marami pong salamat for joining us sa worship service, kahit na ito pong mga nakaraang linggo, online man or sa church. Thank you for sharing your time with us. And God bless you, and hope to see you again next week.